Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Nate Klarfeld from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and this is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, I've got Ryken Lemkuhl, author of Here's What We'll Say, Growing Up, Coming Out, and the U.S. Air Force. Ryken is best known for this book. Also, he was one of the contestants on The Amazing Race number 4. He's been on reality shows, and welcome, Ryken.
Hi, how are you? It's good to be here.
Great to see you. I can't believe I said that on radio. The first question, did you always want to be in the Air Force? Did you always want to go to the Air Force Academy? In case people out there don't know, the Air Force Academy is one of the elite three or four schools that the United States military runs, very limited, very, very high standards to get in. You have to be nominated by your senator, incredibly difficult physically and intellectually. And Ryken started, what year did you get in?
I got in 1992, graduated in 96.
Okay. So, yeah. Did you always want to be in the Air Force?
You know, it kind of started when I was in middle school. I had really gotten into aviation because my grandmother was a pilot in World War II. So she really introduced me to aviation and introduced me to flying. And she was a WASP, a Women's Air Service pilot. So she was kind of the only aviator in the family. And she and my grandfather, who was as an officer in World War II with her, they kind of, you know, talked to me about it. And I'd always wanted to be a pilot. So it was just kind of the perfect match, you know, to go to the Air Force Academy, be in the military, be an officer, and learn to fly.
Wow. Yeah. So, okay, go ahead. Let me tell the radio audience why and how I got in touch with you. I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archive, America's largest gay and lesbian library, museum, and archive in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And one of my jobs after being board chair is I go out into some of the high schools that have gay straight alliances. Didn't you wish they had them when you were in high school? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, we had nothing like that. I can't even imagine having something like that in my school.
Can you imagine walking into school and there's like 50 kids there and half, some are straight, some are gay. They're like 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. And, yeah. You know, I walk in there with a pile of books and I had a bunch of biographies with me as well as some other age-appropriate GLBT books. Your book is on a list because if you haven't read the book, it's called Here's What You'll Say. I noticed that after I went back that your book, Greg Louganis' book, David Coppé's book, even Richard Chamberlain's book, which was god-awful, those books disappeared faster than the novels, faster than the self-help books, faster than anything. So I had a little discussion with the kids, because you can tell that I like to talk, and they really, really want real stories. Did you ever think that was going to be something that teenagers would be interested in?
You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I started writing my book because I just wanted to get off my chest all the things that I could remember about growing up and coming out of the closet. And I just started writing. And one of my friends read everything that I had written to a point and said, you know, you could really publish this. This could be, it kind of reads like a movie, and you should really, you know, check this out. So I ended up getting an agent and a publisher, and, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen. And, it's now become this thing that, wow, these kids want to read. And I get letters every single day of my life, sometimes three or four, just saying, thanks for your book, and I can totally relate to what you went through, and I'm going through that now, and, you know, now I can make sense of it. So I'm really proud of that. And it's just one of those things that just happened organically. So I'm just happy that it helps people.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. And for those of you that are listening to the show and you have the show page open, if you go right next to Ryken's picture, he's smiling there in a blue shirt, there's a picture of the book called Here's What You'll Say. If you click on that picture, it will take you directly to Amazon.com and you can buy the book. So there's my plug for the night. Anyway,
thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to do some readings and stuff from the book, and we'll talk about them. First one is this always gets me. You're off to your first day at the Air Force Academy, and it says, I'm quoting you, all I was allowed to bring with me was a toothbrush, change of underwear, a watch, the clothes I was wearing, and an 8x10 picture frame. Can you imagine traveling like that now? What did you take with you on your trips the last 2 weeks? You know, it's amazing.
The last two weeks I had about 4 suitcases.
So what was it like that first day? You still remember that first day?
What was it like the first day?
Right.
I was scared to death. You know, I was petrified. It's definitely the day you go from being a boy to a man because, you know, there's nobody there to help you. I remember sitting on the bus that picked me up at there were certain hotel locations around Colorado Springs where the new incoming cadets, there were 900 of us.
Wow.
For that year. And, you know, the incoming cadets were being picked up, and I remember getting on that bus from, I think it was the Radisson Hotel where I stayed the night before, and said goodbye to everybody I knew. And I got on the bus, and there were these cadre members sitting in the front in uniforms, and they just kind of look at you. And as soon as the bus went through the gates of the Air Force Academy, these two cadre members in uniform jumped up and came alive like these monsters. And they, you know, they just started screaming at everybody on the bus and telling us, you know, how to sit and how to look and how, you know, screaming at us, asking us questions and making us answer. It was wild, wild, wild day. Probably the scariest day of my life.
Yeah, I was reading the book, and you have a very good style. It reads very well. In reading the book, you have a guy in basic training name that you named Cadet Stork. We hope you changed the name.
Yeah, I did.
I hope so. I guess it's called First Beast, your basic training. And it sounded almost like there was some extra hazing, as if you were already you were being bullied. Do you think that deep down he may have been a closeted, frustrated gay guy?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I was writing the book, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just writing about what he did to me and what he said to me and how he really focused on me. And, you know, now that I look back and I have so much experience meeting gay people and knowing different kinds of gay people and the ways that they deal with being gay, I can look back and really say, wow, he probably was a closet case. And interestingly enough, you know, my book's being made into a movie, and there have been two passes at writing screenplays to it. And both screenplays that have been written on the book by two separate authors or two separate writers have depicted him as a closet case in the movie. He probably was. And that's why he was so mean to me and singled me out.
Well, he saw himself. You know, you were a mirror of himself. He hated himself.
Yeah, I really think he did. I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I got with the book. Of course, you know, we're bully, you know, sensitive right now with everything. So, which is good. I mean, that's the way to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it sounded like his rage was really what he saw in you was maybe something that you know, I don't know what it's called, gaydar or what, or the sixth sense, but it sounded like that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You have. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The name of the book.
Yeah, and I think that he, you know, he had a tough time during. I think he had a tougher time during basic training himself because he was a little more overweight. You know, he was always battling his weight when he was a cadre member and an upperclassman, and I think that made him jealous too. That.
Right.
You know, he would definitely pick on the cadets that looked more athletic or that could get through something faster than he could. So anyway, that's all I'll say about him.
No, that's okay. I mean, it was a good character, and it just popped out that since he did single you out and cause you physical grief, it sounded to me like that. The title of the book, here's what we'll say. How did that code word come about for you in the Air Force?
Well, basically, when we would all be out, you know, when we finally formed our group and we would be out trying to just enjoy ourselves as a group and be at like a gay bar.
Explain what your group was about. I'm sorry.
The group was, it was about 50 cadets large by the time I graduated, and it was a group of guys and girls. We were just kind of underground and knew about each other as being gay, and we went and did things together kind of under the radar, and we knew that we couldn't come out of the closet. So when we would go, you know, do something or be somewhere, we would come back and we would say to each other, okay, let's make sure we have our story straight. If anybody asks where we were, here's what we'll say. And if they ask what we were doing or who we were with, here's what we'll say. And let's all make sure we have the same story, because otherwise we're going to get caught. And, you know, if you get caught being gay, especially in a place like the Air Force Academy, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to go to prison. You're going to be detained. And this is still today. This is still happening. You know, as you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has not been repealed. Right. Don't Ask, Don't Tell is in 100% full effect right now. That thing that Obama signed did absolutely nothing.
Right.
We're still kicking people out left and right. And, yeah, it's amazing that, you know, in 2011, this kind of thing still happens, and you still have to, you know, be that careful.
Right. And from reading about you, we found out is that what you have engraved in your Air Force Academy ring?
That's right, yeah. And there's a big group of us who graduated the academy who have that engraved inside of our ring. Here's what we'll say, and that's why I named the book that. Yeah,
it's a great thing, and it's amazing that there were 50. I mean, you said there were 900 in the class, but to have 50 people that were that inkling to get out, get together, and take that chance. You took a huge chance doing this, because there's. I'm sure there's spies and there's people that would just love to turn you in if they found anything out like that. That's what the book's about, is basically your double life. You know, this group of people that get together every so often.
Yeah.
And your day-to-day life of being a cadet with a girlfriend and trying to be the best so you can get out and be a captain and be a flight instructor and live your dream.
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead. Well, let's see. The Amazing Race. Okay, here we go. We're going to the Amazing Race. Okay, personally, it was 2003. I'm going to take some of the listeners back in case some of them weren't around or born or didn't watch TV back then. It was 8 years ago, and CBS did something amazing on the very first introduction with you and your then boyfriend Chip Arndt, in that when they put your name up, they didn't put friends or good buddies or partners, they put married under your names.
That's right, they did. They put married. And, you know, Chip and I, we were together for 4.5 years, and we had a commitment ceremony before the race. And, you know, we considered ourselves married even though it wasn't legal. And it was pretty cool of CBS, very progressive of them to do that, you know, back in 2003.
Right, and I want to remind listeners who don't have their thumbnail gay history book out that 2003 is before Massachusetts. So in other words, gay marriage was not legal anywhere in the United States. It was legal in Canada, but it was not legal anywhere in the United States. So CBS took a huge step with their advertisers, but I guess by season four they felt pretty well, settled in there, and they could do little odd things. But it was great. I mean, everyone just kind of cheered you on. I remember we all there were a group of us that went out to a bar here in Fort Lauderdale, and we all watched you on that. We watched you down here, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of, you've been to Fort Lauderdale. It's kind of a weird place. People do strange things.
I've been there. It's amazing, you know, how many people supported us. And it was such an awesome time, you know, that whole race and everything, the way it was presented, and, you know, every gay city in America was behind us, and it was such an awesome, awesome time.
Great. You mentioned a little while ago that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was not repealed. That is correct. What was all that Obama signed was the beginning of studies. And nothing will happen until, I guess, all four branches of the service chiefs sign off on something, which I don't even know what the thing is. Do you even understand what they're doing right now?
I do. They're right now, what they're doing is they're putting together the plan of how it's going to be repealed, but that plan has to be approved by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff as well as the Secretary of Defense. And, you know, the thing that scares me is that, you know, coming up on an election year, I don't even believe that the ban is going to go away, or Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to go away before Obama's next election. And, you know, should a Republican get into the White House, the Secretary of Defense is going to change, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be different by then.
Right.
And we could have a whole new administration that says we're not repealing this. And it's really a shame, you know. It's a failure on the Obama administration not to have put in a stop loss order saying that, okay, since Congress voted to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there will be no more discharges of LGBT troops until we figure out what's going on. But he didn't do that. You know, it's another example of, I think, the president riding the fence of, you know, of the Republican Party. So it's really terrible, and the only people who are losing are us as LGBT people who voted for someone to go into office to actually make change and not just, you know, talk about it.
No, I agree with you. In fact, I'm a history book person, and if you read a book called Truman by David McCullough, Truman desegregated the military. Before he did that, the African Americans served in separate units. Nobody served together.
Yeah.
Same exact arguments. You know, unit cohesion. Trust them. It'll be the end of it. You know, after that, they're going to be able to marry our white sisters. Of course, that, you know, then Obama wouldn't have had a mother and a father.
But
if you read the book, it's a fascinating book. I guess, I don't know if he was out playing golf. I don't know if the history of Harry Truman. He played a lot of golf in Key West, and I guess he saw an African American working really hard, toiling, and he's sitting there playing. And he went back and sent a telegram from the Key West White House, desegregating the military. They started impeachment proceedings against him. He had a Republican Congress. It was Roosevelt's last term when he took over, and he didn't care. I mean, he just didn't care. He said it was wrong, and he stood by it. And the military was against it. All the Joint Chiefs of Staff were against it. Of course, it was a military. It was an order from the Commander in Chief that this wasn't going to happen anymore. That the military, and he did it with a stroke of a pen. Which Obama can also do as commander in chief, which is an interesting. I mean, that would take a lot more guts than I've ever seen, you know, him do. But except for when he asked for our gay money,
right, exactly. Well, I hope that, you know, I just hope that we haven't been fooled. Obviously, he's better than what we would have had had McCain been in office. But just hope that should another candidate come up in 2012. Who might have a little more credibility and have a little more integrity than President Obama has, that I hope that we would vote for someone who would have that kind of integrity, who would do what's right and do what the voters who put that person in office ask them to do, because that's not what Obama's doing.
No, I agree with you. I think it's been, and especially in not just on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but you know, waiting this long to play around with DOMA and playing this round to play around with and you know, Employee Non-Discrimination Act, not putting anything behind it and letting, you know, Congress, which has been so impotent, and I just don't think he's shown that much leadership. But let's get off of that. So what are you doing now? We're sounding like, you know, this is not Fox News. Or as MSNBC. So what are you doing now? What are your plans for the future?
Right now I'm writing a new book. It's the sequel to Here's What We'll Say, but it's called It'll Be Great Exposure. And I'm sure you've heard this term. You're in media, and the book is dedicated to anyone who's in media or entertainment or who's ever been asked to work for free, because it'll be great exposure for you. And it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek title.
Right.
You know, it's a tongue-in-cheek title. And basically, the whole book is going to have a theme of what it's been like to be exposed. And, you know, ever since I went on national TV on The Amazing Race, it's kind of what the meat of the book is from there on. what it was like to be exposed, and the way that I have been viewed in everything that I've done, who I've dated, and what that's felt like and how that's been for me and how I dealt with it. And I'm having a lot of fun writing it. So.
Oh, good, good. You're getting back at the critics.
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you. I think that's a great idea. It's a good, and I said, it's another, you're opening another door, because a lot of people don't realize how, I mean, everyone thinks celebrity life is just all cushy and lots of money and lots of fun and lots of perks, but I know that it isn't. And I have friends that are in the biz, and it's pretty much a dog eat dog yucky world.
It is, you know, and I have to, you know, often put on a very happy face, and, you know, and I have a responsibility, I know, at times as a spokesperson for the things that I have experienced in, which is, you know, the gay military scandal. But it's,
right.
You know, this book is great because I'm really getting to be real. You know, I'm really just letting it all out. I have a chapter in there called All the People I Hate. You know, and it's like people are going to see a side of me that they've never seen before, you know, where I really get to speak up and really talk about, you know, what people have done and said and gotten away with because they can, you know. And it was kind of like when I was at the Air Force Academy and people would make fun of me for being gay when they knew it under their breath, because they knew I had nowhere to run to. I had no recourse. I couldn't get them in trouble. And, you know, Hollywood can be that way too, because they think, you know, oh, I can do this to him and he's not going to be able to do anything about it because he's a public figure now. Well, this book is going to be kind of my chance to let everybody know what certain people are like and what it's, you know, what I had to go through and how it's not that easy. And I'm not even a huge celebrity, but I want people to see, oh, okay, this is cool.
That's great. And it sounds like you're getting your rage out. It's very good to let it go.
I'm letting it go. You know, I'm not a really mean-spirited person, so you're not going to see anything too mean or sadistic. But, you know, it's like I'm definitely in my own way going to get out what I need to say, and I can't wait.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. One of the questions I wanted to ask, I'm getting a question from the chat room. Do you hear anything from people? You said you hear some letters every three or four letters a day. Do you get some things from people in the military that are living that closeted double Doppelganger life?
Yeah, good question. Most of the letters are from those kind of people. Most of the letters are from cadets at West Point, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, or, you know, I even get letters from kids who are in military academies that are high school based, that have moral codes of conduct that preclude anyone from, you know, having a homosexual act or thought. So it's an interesting thing, you know, and I love to be able to write these kids back and say, you know, please read my book, or if there's something I can do to help you, let me know. Or if I can point you in the right direction, let me know. So I get a lot of strange letters that come. They're intercepted by my assistant, Bobby. some of them are just ploys to try to get me to call somebody. But, you know, we can usually weed out and tell the difference.
Yeah, I had a very, on a small scale, a very similar experience. I was featured in an article in a magazine, and as an eligible gay bachelor, a national magazine, mm-hmm. and this is like years and years ago, and I was getting letters from people in prison and phone calls, because people would look up, listed. I know, so I know exactly, but don't ever put your name out and face out there. It's kind of like you really are a target for a lot of stuff.
Right.
Is there going to be another season? Are you going to be on the next season of Dante's Cove, or is that still in production? I'm not following.
You know, Dante's Cove isn't. It's really not. Hasn't happened. So it's been kind of weird. I don't know what's happening with your network. You know, a lot of the actors have called and our agents have called and tried to figure out if they're going to do another season, but it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. Well, I only know about. Donnie, I don't watch. I don't have time for that much TV. I know. Don't yell at me. But at the library, of course, we check out the videos. So we have all the old videos. So I'm constantly seeing them fly off the shelves and stuff like that. Especially on rainy days, that's when our library, museum, archive is busy. And so I know it's there. I just can't keep up with all the seasons and stuff between that and the lair and all the other stuff. It's just too much. So, and I'm sure we'll get the A-list when it's on DVD. It seems like people really don't watch it live and they just wait for the DVD so they can like do it all in one marathon weekend or something.
I think that's what they and you know, plus here network is like an on-demand type of channel, so it's tough to, you know, tune in. They don't, you know, keep rerunning things kind of the way that, you know, they do on Logo.
Right. And it's also another fee, and I think people are, you know, we are in a little bit of a recession, so people are like not spending that extra $8 or $10 to get that channel or whatever. But it's kind of an interesting. I did not look that up. I should have, but I wanted to focus mostly on the book because of the response that I got, that which I was surprised, and as you said, you were surprised too. But a lot of people say that books are dead. And that is so not true. Even with the electronic books, and I noticed that you thanked Don Wiese, who's a friend of mine, in the back of your book. Was he your editor?
He was, yeah.
I love Don. Don's great. Don just left Allison. I guess Allison Press, where he was for years and years, kind of disappeared in the publishing takeovers, and he just started his own publishing house, and he's strictly going to be ebooks. He's not even going to be anything printed. The books will all be distributed either through the internet or through, you know, internet channels, promoted by social networking. And he's getting a cadre of writers right now, which is kind of very interesting. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, my partner is a psychiatrist in the gay community, who's also retired, and he's been in contact with him. He's writing a book, but he's not doing a tell-all because, you know, everyone in Dallas would have to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I did get the messages off. I did get the questions tonight off of the chat room. Nobody wanted to call in and use their voice. I don't know why. We don't get that many calls. We get a lot of requests with that. This was great. I had a great time. We're almost done. You have anything to say at the end? Anything to say at the end there?
No, I just want to say thanks for the interview. And, you know, be looking for it'll be great exposure. It's going to be another fun book. And,
okay. Well, maybe we can premiere
it
at the library. Maybe we can premiere it at the Stonewall Library, our museum archive. We do a lot of book premieres there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll definitely be doing a book tour, you know, when it's launched. And I would love to add the Stonewall Library to the tour. So let's work that out and make
that happen.
Let's work
that out. We'll stay in touch. We're Facebook friends.
Oh, good.
So, but I think my partner and your Facebook friends, Grover Lawless.
Yeah.
He's been after you to get something for an event we're doing in November. We're collecting mementos from stars, and you've been chosen to be one of our stars. And we've got some great stuff coming down. Joel Burns from the openly gay Fort Worth, Texas city councilman's coming down, and he's going to be cutting the ribbon. We're expanding our library, and we have a big gala, and I hope you can send us something exciting from your life. And we're going to end the show now. I want to thank Reichen Lemkuhl, author of Here's What We'll Say, about to have a new book called It Will Be Great Exposure. Look for it when? How soon?
I'm going to say it's going to be out probably in 6 months.
6 months, that's great. That's not flies by. Anyway, thank you, and good night.
All right, thanks a lot, Nate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.